You know, the word impersonality is misunderstood quite a bit, you know. But it really, at a pragmatic level, even if you just understand it as interconnectedness, that's good enough. It's a good beginning to really know what is impersonality. First and foremost, it means interconnectedness. I'm not a person, you know, separate from you all. You see? Imperson, impersonality. First and foremost, feeling that sense of connection, oneness, you know. And then as you explore it further, go deeper and deeper, then you understand.
But you're still the engineer.
Sorry?
You are still the engineer.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And both can exist.
Right. So the engineer is still there, but there is no attachment to it.
But the manifestation is...
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So there is a feeling, but there is no attachment to feeling, because it's impersonal. Just like the breath is arising and ceasing based on the bodily condition, feelings are arising and ceasing based on mental conditions. Yeah. There is feelings but no feeler. There are experiences but no experiencer behind. It doesn't mean we don't exist, you know. The question is not whether we exist or not. The question is how we exist. That is the question.
So would that be why people always say if somebody does something to you, they're really doing it for themselves? Like if they're judging you, they're really seeing something in you, they're judging them themselves, because we're all connected, kind of? Or?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of course. If I'm hurting you, in fact, let's say I'm getting angry at you. The first thing that happens is I'm hurting myself. Instantly. Yeah? What happens when I get angry at somebody? There is that burning sensation. The suffering begins instantly. And then obviously you're also suffering because I'm angry at you. When you see those images of Haiti, what happens to you? You feel hurt somewhere and you feel like you don't feel right. Why do you don't feel right when thousands of miles away something is happening to somebody?
Because you recognize their suffering.
Because interconnected, we are interconnected. Yeah. What our mother, what happens to you when you see your child falling off the table?
Scoop him up right away.
I mean...
Doesn't have to be your child.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you see another child getting hurt, you feel hurt somewhere.
What's the wise way to look at your disturbance when viewing injustice out in the world?
You mean... Like looking at the images of Haiti and you feel...
Yeah. Is that if you feel disturbed, are you looking at it wisely? Is there a better way to come to a resolve than feeling the disturbance or reacting to the disturbance?
Well, first thing is you cannot avoid that disturbance or that pain. Pain is inherent in existence. Okay.
But is disturbance always going to occur?
As long as there is existence, there will be pain. There will be disturbance. The aim is to quickly get in touch with that. Real and then understanding its impermanent nature and impersonal nature and allowing it to just arise and cease. not grasping it. See? And when you don't grasp it, when you allow it to happen, then you are creating some space. And in that space, compassion arises.
That's interesting, because I was recently reading about a physician who's worked in Haiti for years. And my thought was, in reading his accounts, is that he cannot move beyond his response to the suffering. And in that, he is suffering. He's suffering their suffering. It's just, there's...
You're talking about Paul
Farmer.
Paul Farmer.
Uh-huh.
I know Paul.
Mm-hmm. Pain is unavoidable, but suffering is optional.
You know, and I feel like he's just
the
suffering.
Teaching.
I feel that he's suffering as much as the people in Haiti are suffering. I mean, this is just from reading the account.
Yeah.
I don't personally know him.
No.
So it is possible to see an injustice and not be perturbed.
Correct. It's possible to see injustice. There will be pain. You cannot avoid that. But there doesn't have to be necessarily suffering. You see? That is the skillful way of dealing with the world. You cannot avoid pain. But you can transcend pain.
Which was all about what Gandhi was doing in his personal life. From what I've read of him, was that he was also doing personal practice to transcend what he was seeing.
Right. And how do you transcend? Constantly bringing yourself back to the understanding of impermanence and impersonality. There is this pain. Its inherent nature is impermanence. As it has arisen, it will cease. Pain is a mental phenomenon, not my pain. Did I answer your question?
Yeah. It's just very, it's very subtle when you, you have to catch your reaction to injustice in the world.
Basically, realizing that pain is inherent in nature, number one. Unpleasantness is part of existence, you know. That's first thing, realizing that. Second is, in most cases, there will be a reaction to it. There is pain, you want to push it away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There is unpleasantness, you don't want it. That's the reaction, first reaction. But that's okay. The aim is to not react to reaction. You see? So you see that disturbance, you understand, okay, there is this disturbance. Now how I cannot react to it, how I can observe it equanimously?
By having compassion.
Right. But before compassion arises,
there's the pain that you experience, mm-hmm. correct?
Right.
But when you're aware of it, as soon as you become aware of it, then you can transform it to compassion.
Exactly. Once you become aware, suddenly there is space, openness. Because you're not grasping something, right? When you grasp, what happens? Everything is closing down, everything is clinging, you know? When you're not grasping, everything is released. And in that space, what arises is compassion.
The tricky part is when you feel the pain, to notice the contraction or the repulsion or the attraction to it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the real work.
That's why you meditate.
Sure.
Begins with becoming aware. That's first step. If we don't become aware nothing is possible. Yeah. That's the first step, but that's not enough. Knowing that there is pain, knowing that there is that first reaction to it, and then arousing compassion.
Yeah, it's like, I'm not aware of pushing or pulling, and that doesn't seem to be what I feel. There's no aversion, and there's no attraction. So I'm a little confused about what you're saying insofar as pain is concerned.
Yeah.
And then I immediately feel compassion and allow that compassion to flow through my body too. Because I can't work it differently. If I put out and put out and put out and put out and not allow it to flow through me, then there are problems, there are contractions.
Well,
and they're releasing.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense. What is your thought on that?
Yeah, I think aversion and attraction is, one of the key roots of suffering. And I think we all experience it unconsciously or consciously, thousands of times a day, whether it's just...
That reaction will happen, you know? But we have a chance to not react to reaction. We have that opportunity.
This is, another framing of all this is how we respond. The Western model was talking about transference. What is it about this incident that is setting us off? Why is this incident setting me off more than maybe setting this person off? So it becomes something about self-knowledge, as I think you're saying. I think that's what I'm hearing in terms of your reaching for, understanding the aversion or the reaction and the injustice, and then kind of going to your self-knowledge of where, okay, I understand why. And now, that's a step toward self-compassion.
Yep. Bottom line is, if we combine wisdom with compassion, we can live in this world skillfully without having to suffer.
What is the only part of what you say that I want to understand more? This without having to suffer. And I think there's a part of it for me, and
Like I said, pain, unpleasantness is intrinsic part of existence, but not suffering. Suffering arises when we identify with pain. Suffering arises when we become personal with pain, when we call it my pain. Just look at pain as pain. Then it doesn't need to suffer. Just as breath is breath, not my breath.
So sometimes the exception to the rule, that notion of there's something that the exception proves the rule, is there any exception?
I'm going to say no, but don't accept that.
Well,
experientially you will know that it is the fundamental law of nature, that to the extent we are established in the understanding of impermanence, to the extent we are established in the understanding of impersonality, to that extent we do not suffer. What I'm suggesting is suffering is there to the extent you are attached to your experiences. Basically, like I said, I'm not denying that there is no pain, there is no unpleasantness. There is. It's unavoidable in life. But suffering is optional. It is optional. It really is. Just like while sitting in meditation, you feel that intense pain in the knee, right? And I have noticed this. If I look at that pain as my pain in my knee, it multiplies, you know? It becomes worse. But if I look at that pain as pain, a phenomenon that has arisen based on body-mind condition, pain as pain, there is a sudden shift. It no longer rules you.
But it's still there.
It's still there, but the suffering is not there. Pain is there, but suffering is not there.
I see how you're using the word.
Right. Okay.
The way I see it, the way I interpret it is the statement, there is no suffering, allows for suffering in an individual way, if that makes any sense.
Well, when I say there is no suffering, I mean there is no suffering if you are established in wisdom. Otherwise, life is all suffering, you know?
Yeah, in the personal nature of it, you know, this is just, as we were saying, when we identify with it, it's when the suffering starts. And I spent lots and lots of time at the bedsides and with parents and children who were dying. And I was pretty impersonal. Mm-hmm. But when my own kid...
There you go. That's a great example. Great example.
Or was when they were thinking that there was something real. I was like a warrior then. Mm-hmm. Because this is my child. Yeah.
That's such a great example. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, identification, suffering.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying disidentify, I'm saying transcend. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There is a difference there. Great, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.